is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 485, and across the screen from me is my trusty sidekick, Ryan. What's going on?
Trusty. Your area is very bright today, I noticed. Just like, yeah, either the sun's coming in or you've got more lights on or something. It looks just very bright in there today.
It's a sunny day. It will
sunny day in San Diego. Sunny California. Sunny San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. I actually put some things on the windows over here. If you guys did see our latest case review, there's a big reflection. So I got these things for the windows, like this vinyl thing. It's like a blackout vinyl. So, but the light is coming from over here. These ones don't have it because I can't – like you're down in the basement, right?
Yeah.
So you sit in darkness.
I mean, yeah.
So like I work here all day, so I can't sit in darkness. I need a little bit of light. I've blocked out this side where we take all the photos of the products and we're obviously doing the podcast, but yeah. But in any case, it is bright. It is sunny. It's been beautiful here in San Diego. I can't complain at all. But this week's podcast, essentially, and we're going to call it this, is it's MSI week.
It feels like it.
Yeah. So we have two MSI products that we're going to be talking about. They're actually a sponsor of this week's podcast, and we'll roll into some of that as well. But we also have a lot to talk about this week too. So a lot of backlash on DLSS 5. It looks like Microsoft is reacting to the MacBook Neo announcement by loosening restrictions and actually making Windows 11 better. So we'll talk about that as well. Some new cases that were announced, one that I think Ryan might like. Elon Musk announced a new Terafab, which is kind of crazy, and the scale of it is really insane. We'll talk about that as well and some other things. But like I said, this week's episode is sponsored by our friends over at MSI, and we're going to play a quick little video for you. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by MSI and their MPG A1250GS PCIe power supply. It is 80 plus and Cybernetics gold rated for great efficiency. You'll find soft and durable embossed jacket cables, and the 12V2X6 connector is color-coded. Unlike other power supplies, you have dual native 12V2X6 connectors. The fan is optimized for low noise operation, and there's even a button on the back of the power supply for zero fan mode, which actually will turn the fan off when your system's in an idle state. To learn more, check out thinkcomputers.org/A1250GS. All right. So if you guys are looking for a new power supply, that one is actually quite nice. I actually have it. They sent it over just for me to take a look at. So it is quite nice. And again, I like when it comes to stuff over 1,000 watts, especially in 1250 watt, it's not long. It's only 150 millimeters. So it's going to fit in any ATX case. When you get into bigger power supplies, one of the things that happens is that certain ATX cases will only be like 160 millimeters, something like that. So having something within that range, especially when it comes to the modular cables, is definitely a big deal. So check out that power supply. And we thank MSI for sponsoring this week's episode. Now, if you guys did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page right here that has everything that we are going to be talking about this week, all of the links to everything. So if you do want to reference something later, it is going to be all right here. So let's start with one of those MSI products. I took a look at one of their motherboards, and this is actually a super sleek looking motherboard. This is their MPG B850 Edge TI Wi-Fi. And for those looking to do a more affordable Ryzen build, this could be a really good motherboard. The biggest thing is when you're looking at X870E, X870, and B850, the thing that B850 really lacks for them, unless they add it on later, is typically USB 4 is not going to be there, and then you're not going to get as many lanes for certain things. But the big thing is that B850 still gets PCI Express 5.0 for your graphics card and storage. You're just going to have less Gen 4 lanes and things like that, which we'll talk about. But for like most people, you can do B850 for a Ryzen build and it's going to have everything that you want. So I think there's a lot of misconception when it comes to a lot of these. And I think at least on the AMD side, like they didn't cut down the chipsets so much where you're like missing a lot as you go down the chipsets, which is kind of nice. So this motherboard is sleek, super sleek. So white and silver design. And I mean, it looks really, really nice. They've done a really good job on design on this. All white PCB, and then again, white and silver accents all around. And most of the heat sinks are like the silver, again, which goes really well with this. So again, if you are doing a white theme build, this could be a perfect motherboard for that. CPU socket, we have a 14 plus 2 plus 1 power phase design. So again, as you move down to a B850, you're not going to get those super crazy beefy VRM designs, but this VRM will still handle your X3D processors and everything like that, no problem, especially if you're running those processors at their stock speed without doing any, you know, crazy overclocking or anything like that. And of course, those are covered right here by our two large heat sinks. No problem with VRMs in our testing on this board. Coming over, this board actually supports DDR5 8400 memory out of the box, which is definitely nice. And one thing that's really cool about this board is that we do get the debug LED, but that's also going to be a temperature readout. So
that's cool.
When your system's on, that lights up, and you can select it too. So in the BIOS, you can go in and say, I want this to be the CPU temperature, or I want this to be the, like, there's a couple different temperature sensors on the board. You can pick which one it is, which I think is really, cool. Really nice. There's also this easy connector, which actually opens up space on the board. So that is a, let's see. So the easy connector is a system fan header, a 5-volt ARGB header, and a USB 2.0 header in a single 11 pin. So it's again, it's this connector, and then there's a cable in the box that breaks out into those three connectors. So it just saves space on the board, which I definitely like. And I don't really think there's other companies that are doing that besides MSI. I think so
one of the MSI coolers I had looked at previously had like that as its connection, so you could just like make a single cable connection to your motherboard. So it's it's really nice, but cool that they include that breakout as well.
Yeah, so it's definitely nice to see that. And then coming down, you have USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, 4 SATA ports, and then 2 USB 3.2 Gen 2 ports, and all these are of course at a 90 degree angle so they don't get in the way of your graphics card. Everything else is essentially at the bottom. The big standout here is you do have auxiliary power right here for just more stable power delivery for your graphics cards if you need it. And we have a bunch of fan headers, USB 2, kind of like the standard here. And then of course the bottom half of the board, as you can see, it is all heat sinks here. Top heat sink is fully toolless. So you just, there's a button right here. You just press that button, it gets removed, and that's going to be your Gen 5 slot right there. And then as we come down, the next one, so this one right here, 4 screws that you do need to remove. And then that's going to be a PC. There's 2 PCI Express 4.0 slots right there. I believe they're both X4s. Let's see. Okay, so PCI Express 5.0, PCI Express 4.0 X2, and PCI Express 4.0 X4 for the final bottom one right there. So definitely some nice, you get 4 total M.2 slots on this, which is really, really nice. And all of those are toolless as far as installing the M.2. So this top one has this little groove piece that kind of moves and just snaps in. And then the bottom three have the little kind of piece of plastic that just slides over and locks the drive into place. So no more tiny screws. It's so funny how fast that changed. Like,
It needed to, because it was like just such a pain.
Drop one of those screws.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It like goes behind your motherboard or something, depending on, you know,
Yeah. So it's just a lot better there. And then for our graphics card, there's 3 PCI Express X16 slots. Top one is going to be PCI Express 5.0, and that top one is metal reinforced. It's also connected to the button here. So again, just makes it easier to release and remove your graphics card. And then the middle slot is PCI Express 3.0 X1, and the bottom slot is PCI Express 4.0 X4. So those are the slots that you have here. Again, more cut down than what you would see from X870 or X870E, but sure. I think for most people, you're going to be fine. Rear IO is really interesting, and I actually really, really like it. The big thing that is going to be missing on this board is USB 4 or Thunderbolt 4. You're not getting that here because of the chipset. And there's no rear USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. But, you know, everything's going to Type-C these days. They actually have three Type-Cs on the back, and those are USB 3.2 Gen 2. So you actually do get those on the back. How do you feel about getting more Type-Cs?
I like it. I miss not having a two. Oh my gosh, USB 3 Gen 2x2 port. At least one right back here. But I do like 5 gig Ethernet on there, Wi-Fi 7, and yeah, like you said, so much is going to Type-C anyways that I like.
Yeah, I actually kind of like this, and for being like a B850, not like a crazy high-end board, you also get BIOS flash button and clear CMOS button on the back here, which again I definitely like over something like a header. As Ryan said, you do get Wi-Fi 7, and this is full bandwidth 320 megahertz Wi-Fi 7 and 5 gig Ethernet. And then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 USB type A ports. 4 of those are USB 2. So again, cut down a little bit from what you would get on an X870 or X870E. But overall, I think it is pretty solid. You know, the whole feature set of this board is very solid overall. And we have a full walkthrough of the BIOS. This is MSI's new Click BIOS X or 10. It is so nice. It's good upgrade, yeah. It's a very nice upgrade from my last MSI motherboard that I reviewed. Really nice, very modern. Everything's easy to find. Easy mode allows you to add your favorites into there. Like, it's very well done. So if you haven't checked out, like taking a look at it, we have a full video walkthrough, which you can see. And then they're actually, you know how we've gone from insane RGB to like RGB on motherboards. This does have RGB on the rear IO cover. It's the MSI Dragon logo that Ryan hates. but it is right there. And then there's like an accent under it. It looks good. I think it looks good on this board. And again, you know, if, like I said, doing an all white build is going to stand out quite nicely. You can run through all of our testing to see everything. Didn't really run into any issues with this board at all. And again, for what it is and the feature set, I think for a B850 board, you're going to get everything that you really want. Now, if you're somebody who needs USB 4, obviously you're not going to be looking at the B850 chipset. I think for most people, you do get that, you know, that internal header for USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. So you do get that speed there. You just have to have a case that, of course, is going to support it. You're really not missing much else when it comes to this board. The only downside is the price. I believe this board launched for $259. It's currently $302.99 because of just price increase. So I only gave it an 8 out of 10. For price is one of the main reasons.
Yeah, the price feels high.
No USB 4, and it just would have been nice. I don't care about the front header. I would have rather seen a rear USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 Type-C. That's just me. But yeah. Not bad. Like I said, it's one of the better B850 boards that I've seen. Just the price just kind of it's high right now for, you know, there's other B850 offerings that are very much the same feature set for a lower price. So, but I like the board. I think it's nice. So definitely, you know, definitely check out the review if you are interested. Video will be coming soon as well. And I didn't even look at the chat.
Oh, we just heard one. And I don't know what we must have said something that triggered this comment. Or we just look old today. I don't know.
Do I look old today?
I don't know. He said, damn, you two are old. Just like me. I'm 42. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's I got a little gray here showing or in the hair.
It's hard to get some grays up there, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I might have to embrace it. I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, I'm 41. Ryan, how old are you?
Just about to turn 44.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm still eating like a child too.
Yeah, dude.
If you guys didn't know, it's a long running joke.
Thing you can't see around me because I got some Marvel Oreos here. I got
Chips
Ahoy, some pretzels.
Yeah, he's a big snacker. But in any case, yes, we are old, but we still love to talk about tech. And of course, we're glad that you're here joining us for the podcast. We'll move on to Ryan. And he also took a look at an MSI product, which is the MagCore Liquid A13360, which is pretty interesting because it's an AIO that came out in... Well, I don't know if it came out, but we reviewed it in 2026 and there's no screen.
Yeah. It's like you almost step back five, probably plus years before we had screens on every LCD, it seems like, or on every AIO, right? We've looked at a ton of them recently that do have screens or multiple screens or curved screens and things like that. This is just like a pulled back, subdued, all-in-one cooler. For those people that maybe don't want either the system overhead resource usage that software is going to, you know, take up to display a screen, or you just, you know, just don't want a screen in general. So,
or I mean, it's cost too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That is one thing here. The cost on this is really nice. You do get some significant cost increases typically when you add a screen on. So this is the MagCore Liquid A13360. They do offer this as a 240 as well. And they offer it in black and white versions. So you got multiple sizes and colorways depending on your install needs, aesthetics, so on and so forth there. Pretty standard layout as far as the all-in-one goes. They of course include all the hardware you need for standard AMD and Intel installations. You do get a syringe of thermal paste because this does not have pre-installed thermal paste, but you don't get a installation manual, so you are gonna have to go online to get that. I don't ding them for that, but I do like to have a physical manual. Especially for those people that are
Because we're old.
Maybe it is, you know, I gotta, well, we were talking about it like maybe last week or something. Like, I don't want to have to look at my phone and then zoom in on a PDF and then set it down and then your phone screen locks and you got to unlock it again. And I just don't want that hassle. Anyhow, like I said, pretty standard 360 millimeter all in one. As you can see here, fans come pre-mounted from the factory, which is always a plus. Just, you know, it's only 12 screws to go into those fans, into the radiator, but it does save you some time and just a little bit of headache. Plus, those fans are daisy chained together already, so you don't have to worry about running your PWM line for each one of them to like a splitter. You don't have to worry about daisy chaining the RGB, and depending on like what type of lighting you run, you may want them to be in a certain order, because if you're like rainbow waves going and your fans are wired out of order, it can look funny. So just having them all wired together is so nice and helpful. So I do appreciate that. You can kind of see there, those fan blades are attached on the edges of the fans. So that's going to help direct that air through the radiator is included here. It's a standard 27 millimeter thickness radiator. That's pretty much what we see on just about everything. I should say it's 27.2 millimeters. So 20 fins per inch on this one. Standard braided lines coming off of this. You can see the little cable here. This is just our single cable that is connecting all of those connections for those fans. So again, just a lot less cable management that you have to do when you're installing this, which is always appreciated. Pump housing, real similar or real simple design here. Like I mentioned, it looks like a 5 to 10 year old AIO. This is just a silver top here on it. There's a little bit of semi-transparent MSI nameplate here. And we've got some ARGB lighting behind it, right? Like, I mean, you go back 10 years, show me an AIO and I'd be like, this looks very similar. This is right. No screens found there. Standard swivel fittings here for our connections on the pump housing. And then we got a couple lines coming off the side for our RGB and pump control. I do want to mention, and it's not as common anymore, but this is just a 3-pin connector for your pump. So it's not a PWM, so you get a little less precision and control over the operation of that pump. Still works just fine. It's just something I wanted to mention there. Not a PWM connection. It does come with Intel hardware mounted. It's not a universal mounting system, so you do have to remove a couple screws here in the corners if you're going to use this in an AMD system like I did. So really simple. You just got to pop those four screws off, take the two Intel brackets out, swap them in for AMD, and you're all set. It's easy, but just an extra step there for installation. Like I mentioned, we've got these Cycloblade 7 fans. They're just ARGB fans, but they only spin up to about 2,000 RPM. So in our testing, we'd like to go to like a 2,000 and 2,500 if possible, and then like a max, right? So with these, we kind of skip from 1,500 to the max because they don't go any higher than that. So that's kind of reflected in our testing. Rubber pads at the ends. I like to see that on fans just to reduce any vibrations you might get between the fans and the radiator itself. While these fans are daisy chained together, they do have some exposed cabling. So you're not getting like a stealth look here where you don't see any cabling between the fans. So it is there. If that matters to you, just keep it in mind. They do also extend past the body of the fans. So if you've got like really tight clearances next to your fans or radiator, just something to keep in mind there. It's not like a hidden stealthed pogo pin style connection. It still uses a cable between fans, but it's just already daisy chained and installed from the factory. Installing, super easy, like pretty much every AIO nowadays. Again, those fans come pre-mounted from the factory. Here you can see I've got the AMD hardware swapped out. Again, all it takes is removing those four quarter screws and popping the bracket on. Here in this picture, you can see that I have the sticker that says warning, remove the sticker. It's a standard copper base, and you just want to make sure you remove this sticker before you
install this.
So I'm testing this all-in-one cooler the other day, and I was like, man, these idle temps are like kind of warm. It wasn't like crazy, but it was like 5 to 7 degrees warmer than everything else, and typically idle temps are about the same all the way around. And I was like, okay, like it's warmer, let's like finish up idle testing and move on to load testing. And I get to like hit the load and turn it on, and it is just like way higher than it should have been. And I was like, is going on here? So I cranked up the fan speed to full power, made sure the pump was running at full speed, and it just like was hot. And I was like, what is going on with this thing? And so I was like, I'm going to check anyways.
When was the last time you forgot to take the sticker?
I don't think I've ever done it. I don't think I've ever done it. This is the first time. So yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to check, make sure I didn't leave the sticker on, because who would do something like that? Well, I would. I had left the sticker on.
Oh yeah, there. I've done it. I've done it multiple times.
I was just like, you got to be kidding me. So thankfully, pulled that sticker off, and we actually got really good results out of this cooler. But back to the installation, it doesn't use the AMD clips, plastic brackets. You got to pull those off and just use the motherboard plate that sits behind your CPU. And then just, it just screws into place. It's so straightforward and easy. Just a super simple install. Got to hook up your cabling, of course. You don't have to worry about any USB 2.0 or anything like that, because there's no screen to control. There's no software associated with controlling this or anything like that. It's just straight motherboard control or fan control, whatever you want to use to control the pump and fans. So that being said, once I got the sticker out of the way and reinstalled and testing, this actually performed really well. Had our best idle performance out of all of the coolers we've tested so far in this new test setup, outside of at max fan speed, but again, it was still second place. Load temperatures were great as well. I just realized I need to fix some graphs. Let's go here. These are our standard load temperatures. Performed amazingly. What I did is I switched our in this section of graphs, we tested with Ada 64 with just the CPU check mark enabled, and then we also test with the CPU and FPU. So need to switch those around on the page. I'll take care of that. But either way, great performance out of this cooler. I was actually decently surprised.
Isn't it funny? Like, you have these coolers that like have the screens and the curved screens, and then like the basic one actually does better performance wise.
It's kind of funny. Now, I will say it did well performance wise, keeping things cool, but it did it at a bit of a cost in volume. Now at 500 RPM, not too big of a deal, but it is the loudest so far. Once we sped up though, there was a decent difference between like 1,000, 1,500 and max fan speeds. It was actually kind of loud. And the max is a little bit misleading because again, these fans only go up to 2,000 RPM. Yeah. So while it was, you know, 57.2, and the others at 65, well, that's because that ASRock fan spins a lot faster.
That also is because again, your pump is running at the same speed. It's not it's not a PWM, so that also probably has a lot to do with it.
And so here's just a couple shots, you know, of the cooler up and running with the RGB. Overall though, I actually gave this a 9 out of 10 because a couple reasons. You got great value. We talked about price and it being cheaper because it doesn't have a screen. Right now it's available for just under $88. You're getting three ARGB fans, the ARGB pump, housing, lighting. One thing I did want to mention is that MSI logo, depending on how you have this installed, it pops off. You can pull that little cover off, rotate it 90 degrees so that it's oriented correctly on your install. Great performance, though. As you saw in those graphs, amazing performance. Factory installed fans. They're daisy chained, value priced. The only thing I didn't like is it's kind of loud. Outside of that, it probably would have done better. But I gave it a 9 out of 10 and a good value award as well. So,
yeah, I mean, under $90 for a 360 millimeter AIO is quite good.
For sure. And it's modern, right? Like it has been out for probably a year or so, but it still competes with modern, you know, AIOs that were just released 2 months ago. So,
yeah, nice. Well, definitely check out Ryan's review. It's like I said, some people, and like for a lot of people, they don't even, I mean, I look at my screen, I guess that's on the AIO that I have right next to me, but like a lot of people, you know, their computer's under the desk, like they're not looking at it or like they don't care. And like you said too, a lot of those with the screen relies on software. The software is kind of bloated. Yep. And again, the price, like, you know, a really high-end AIO is like $300.
Yeah, I mean, $250 to $300 is not uncommon for a, you know, nice screen-equipped AIO. So,
yeah. Well, like I said, check out Ryan's review. Pretty satisfied. I like the kind of, you would call it old-school stuff performing well. So
Yeah, exactly.
So I definitely like that. Also, finishing out our MSI stuff, I did publish a video review of the MSI Mag Pano 120 RPZ. We published the written review last week, and now the video review is on our YouTube channel. So if you want to check it out, there's me, there's the case. And there's that glare right there. See that glare? That's why that's why I got the things for the windows. Gotcha. So, check out the video. Go in pretty good detail on the case. And it is actually, talking about value, this case is right around $200, but it comes with seven ARGB fans. And if you can't tell, this is one piece glass curved panel. It's really, really nice. So really good value on this case as well. So check out the video. We have it linked in the show notes if you want to check it out. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. Of course, that's where we feature a builder mod in the community. And I thought Ryan might like this one because he's always wanted to build a smaller form factor system. Yep. And this one's Mini ITX, but it's very compact. It's in the new NZXT H2, and it's done by our friend Stuart over at GGF. And just to give you an idea of the size, there's like a set of studio monitors, you know, and you can get a good idea of how small this is. But a water-cooled build, both water-cooling the CPU and GPU in this tiny case. What do you think about this one, Ryan?
You were correct. I do like this. Yeah, it's using AlphaCool water cooling. They're some of their core components, it looks like. I think he's using like a unibody fan on the radiator there. And I like the lighting that it provides. Cause it's kind of like a racetrack look for the lighting. It doesn't highlight each individual fan, but it's more of like the whole unibody design there. It was on one of the pictures, you could kind of see it, but I love those fittings. I like the use of the black tubing. I can't tell if the liquid is clear or if it's actually black, but it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it does. It definitely looks nice. Super compact build.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always a fan of these small ones. They're just like super small and compact. Like it's, yeah. And just getting those fittings like perfectly right, you know. Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely like this one for sure.
Yeah. See that? How that's yeah. just kind of highlight around them. I like that look a lot.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. So shout out to Stuart for this one. Always like featuring like small form factor where like it definitely takes some thoughts. Like you have to really plan out
and
do stuff mm-hmm. because you don't have a whole lot of extra space and everything needs to be in a certain alignment for everything to work and fit correctly. So yeah, definitely shout out to Stuart and go ahead and check that one out. And we'll move on to news. So last week, the big announcement was DLSS 5. And we talked about it, whether we liked it, whether we didn't like it, kind of what it meant, you know, how it kind of changed the style of the game from like, again, you're from what they showed, you know, you're in this dark scene and then like, if you enable DLSS 5, it like recreates the scene, but it's a lot brighter and it just changes the overall view of the game or how the game feels. And first of all, this is kind of crazy. So a lot of game developers, like at big studios, were like, we didn't even know about this. Like we found out
until afterwards. Yeah.
Which is kind of wild.
It is.
Don't you think that NVIDIA would work with game developers on this?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like,
of course.
So this is developers at Capcom and Ubisoft. So it's not like some no-name studio.
Right. Independent houses, right?
Yeah.
Big names. Yeah. Maybe they thought it would get too much pushback and they would have trouble launching the feature.
Or there'd be pushback before and then it would get leaked or somebody somebody at one of the studios would be like, this is not would already, and a lot of people at studios were not they were very upset at this.
Again, like I said last week, I think that it looks good. It's just it doesn't stick with what the studios had imagined with the tools and resources that they have, right? They launch it at a level and design that they are happy with and want to present to the customers when they launch it. And then it gets like,
and
it's almost running a different like set of skins or something. Like you think about Minecraft and you're like, oh, I want to run different texture pack because I want my game to look a little different. It's almost like that much of a change.
And it's like at a level where it's like, okay, DLSS 5 is not just this regenerative AI, whatever's going on, right? So a game developer wants their title to support DLSS 5 because that also includes the upscaling tech and everything else. So it's like this gets turned on at a higher level where like the game developer can't even control it, you know, which is kind of, I don't know. But like I said, it's kind of crazy that NVIDIA, from this news story, that they didn't even talk to game developers about it. They're like, we're just launching this and, you know, just didn't care to tell anybody, which is kind of, I don't know. Maybe they knew there would be backlash. Yep. That's what it kind of seems like.
I think so.
Old man is in the chat. Good to see you here, of course, as always. And then, so NVIDIA, of course, put out their video on YouTube about DLSS 5. 84% dislike rate, so it doesn't look like people are happy about it.
Yeah.
Now, is this people just being purist, or is this just like a community thing where like people are like, you know, it's the cool thing to like say it sucks, you know, like on Reddit and everything.
It almost feels like this is if you could flip on DLSS and get the frame generation without the updated like text, you know, visualization.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a lot better if that was like oh, and you can do this, like when, you know, when they're like, oh, and one more thing, right? Like,
yeah,
we've also got this that you can flip on to get this. I think that would have been accepted a lot more than, and maybe they can make a change like that, right? Maybe they can just separate those two enhancements with DLSS 5 and allow you to turn it on or off.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are mad about this, but I think just like with anything in video, we're kind of stuck, right? Like we can't do anything. And this is kind of the direction that they're going. So we'll obviously see what happens with DLSS 5. Old man in the chat says people are saying it destroys the artistic integrity. Yeah. There's like a lot of things that it changes and it, you know, so like I said, we'll obviously see how game studios, you know, integrated or don't integrate it, and we'll see kind of the pushback from everybody else as far as consumer goes as well. Memory shortage. We haven't talked about memory shortage, it seems, in a couple of weeks.
It's been nice.
So SK Group, who owns SK Hynix, they own do they own Clev? They own a couple. But in any case, they said that the memory shortage may continue into 2030. I think we're just at a point, at least currently, where you can get stuff, but it's just expensive.
Yeah. One thing that I kind of push, like, I don't know. Okay, so we've got this like 2030 date, which is horrible. Prices suck, right? But then there was the story today, and I know we're not covering it, but OpenAI Sora. They're kind of like, I think, video generation. They're like, we're gonna shut that down and we're gonna focus on other things. So yeah. I'm like, maybe that'll be like the start of this like pushback on, because everything like, that I saw related to that was everybody's happy. They're like, yes, good, because
like, yeah, like the demand, obviously the reason why RAM prices are so expensive is demand. And again, when you know what. Okay, so yeah, like we can use ChatGPT, we can make, you know, use like Sora or the other ones to make videos and to do things. And but like, what's the next thing? Like, is there going to be something more that even needs even more capacity? So that's the scary part.
Maybe
they
realized, that there's like again, an even higher level.
All these brands are investing in new fabs and in new things, you know, or buying old fabs, or, you know, but yeah, like what's the next thing? Like, I mean, if you think about how quickly AI evolved just over the past couple of years, like it's a few years ago, nobody even knew what ChatGPT was.
Sure.
And just how good it's gotten in the past couple years. Yeah. Old man in the chat says, I think these shortages will be used to push more people into streaming service since they won't have hardware. Yeah, that's the thing too. And like, that's what the brands want. They want rent your GPU in the cloud, you know?
I mean, I don't think the Asus's and the Gigabytes want that. They need to sell hardware so that these things can run at home.
So, obviously, with all of these fabs, not only in the memory space, but in the CPU space, you know, Samsung, TSMC, those are like the big, you know, who's producing all these things for NVIDIA and for other companies, for AMD, Intel. They're like kind of at capacity. And so this is kind of a crazy announcement. Elon Musk announced TeraFab, which is essentially they're going to build a chip fab in Austin, Texas, that's going to do CPUs in memory for Tesla, XAI, and SpaceX.
Yeah.
So instead of them relying again on a TSMC or a Samsung, they're going to build their own.
20 to 25 billion. Like, that's so much. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. So to give you an idea of scale, this is the idea of scale. So this down here, this this building is 1 mile, right? And this is the Tesla
Gigafactory.
Yeah, this is the Tesla Gigafactory in Texas. It's a mile long. This is how big the Terafab is expected to be, 1 million square feet.
That's so huge.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine a building that big.
Yeah. And the Tesla Gigafactory is one of the largest manufacturing buildings in the world. So how big this is going to be. But here's the question is that, do you see more companies doing this? Do you see more companies saying, hey, like, you guys don't have the capacity for us, we're going to have to do it ourselves?
I mean, this kind of, I don't want to like spoil our question of the week, but this kind of ties into that, in my opinion.
Okay.
I'll wait to kind of get my answer. Okay. I'll reference this story, I guess, back when we get there.
Gotcha.
Because my answer's related.
But yeah, so initial production, when it will open, will be 100,000 wafers per month, scaling to 1 million wafers a month at full capacity. It's going to target 2-nanometer process technology.
Yeah. I don't think they probably have a timeline for when this is going to be.
No,
built, right? This is multi-year. I mean, this is
like 3-5 years, I would say. I mean, for the scale of the building.
Now, that being said, like, they've built, I mean, they know what it takes to build big factories, right?
Yeah.
And I think they could probably scale them up. And so, yeah, it's kind of wild.
Yeah. So it's going to be a while, but it will probably be like one of the biggest construction projects in America.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just massive. But again, this cuts out the essential middleman, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to rely, and if there's shortages, or if you don't have to compete with like an NVIDIA,
right? Who's going to pay more?
Who might pay more to get the chips? And again, you know, you, and this covers multiple product lines for them too, not just Tesla. You have everything with SpaceX, and then you have like all of the other Tesla products, like the robots and other things too. So this just makes it easier, especially again, if we go through something like a COVID or something where you do have like a global chip shortage again, you know, you own the fab. So you have the availability of it. So I it's pretty interesting, pretty, be a lot of jobs in Texas. That's for sure.
Kidding.
Yeah. So, pretty cool story there. We'll move on to some new cases. We'll first start with Corsair case. Corsair just launched their 3200D, which is a mid tower. Looks quite nice. I like the design of the intake there. Black and white versions, as you can see, pretty simple design, but the thing I really like about this, and it's kind of like a running joke. The running joke is the Corsair tax, right? You pay more for a Corsair product, right? Yeah. This is actually incredibly affordable. I think it's like $89 for the case.
Okay. It's got that angled fan too, to kind of point some air at your GPU. I kind of like that.
So let's go to the website. So the ARGB version, which comes with 3 ARGB fans. So you don't get the curved fan, or the fan that goes in that bottom slot. This fan, right? Oh, wait. Right. Can I make this bigger? Like that fan. But you get 3 fans in the front that are ARGB for $90.
Yeah.
And this is what I think is also part of like the shortage, is like other components are getting cheaper, because they need to sell, like they need to sell,
gotta
these.
Sell something. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And then the RS version, which I believe just comes with 3 of their RS fans. It's
still comes with fans though. Yeah.
That's like a good price.
Yeah. Yeah.
A sleek case, tempered glass, white or black. And what's this gray? Oh, it's just like a gray front.
I think, yeah. The front.
Yeah. But like pretty good.
I like this.
Yeah.
Supports back connect motherboards.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
I like it.
So yeah. So I would get this. It's a really good deal. I think it's a really, really good deal.
It looks good. I like that side panel too. How it has that kind of triangular design that they've used a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So shout out to Corsair for that one, because that's a very affordable case. That looks good too. Now here's an old school looking case that Ryan, I don't know.
They've been doing this a lot too.
Yeah. So this is the Silverstone Farah 314. It's a micro ATX case that essentially the front is just like your old school classic case.
They gave you dual 5 1/4. They show 3 3.5-inch drives in their product pictures.
Yeah, so like we've been reviewing cases for a long time, right?
Oh yeah.
And like
this was the standard. This
section of the case in all modern cases is gone because we don't have CD drives and things like that, and we don't put our hard drives over here. It's usually on the back side of the motherboard or something like that. But they've embraced this and they're bringing this back.
Why? Like, what's the? I don't.
Especially like again, this is the reason why that we don't have these in the front of the case anymore, is because this reason.
I mean, you don't get airflow through those fans. Some cases will put fans like in front of them so that you do get some airflow over those. But it blocks off, you know, some of the airflow to the CPU.
And then again, this picture is without any of the cables. There's no cables
connected
to those. So you're going to have your SATA cables and all your cables here.
I don't know. It's a weird choice, if you ask me.
Hey, you even get an SSD, little SSD mount here, and then there's one right here as well. Like I said, I think maybe if you're doing a storage heavy build, you can. You know,
I guess,
but again, like I feel like even Silverstone has better options for that.
Yes, yes.
But it's micro ATX, you know, so pretty interesting case there. Let's see, ASRock is actually celebrating their 10th anniversary of Tai Chi, which makes me feel old because I believe I reviewed the first Tai Chi motherboard, and they're gonna put out a 10th anniversary video, and I'm in it. So stay tuned for that.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm in their 10th anniversary video that they're supposed to put out. So, this is like a Z890 Tai Chi, which has already been out. I have the regular one over there. But this is the 10th anniversary edition. So it looks like they put some pretty interesting. We only have this one picture, right here.
Show us.
Oh, hey, I might want to share.
Hey, there we go.
So they've kind of just changed the design of it a little bit. Here's the thing. 10th anniversary of Tai Chi. What is the thing they should have done, Ryan?
They should have gears or a clock, and they got moving.
Yeah, they should have the movable gear that we had. It was the Z590. The Z590 Tai Chi had the movable gear. That's what I want.
Throw it back to that. Exactly.
I got to talk to them and say, hey, we need a movable gear. But it is pretty cool to see, like, again, we're getting, like, as we started the podcast with Frame Rate X said that we're old. Like, all of these companies are having these big anniversaries.
They are, yeah.
You know,
some of them like 30 year, you know,
yeah,
like,
I think 25 years
when was just had a 30 year or something.
I think like ROG is.
Yeah, they just had
20
one.
We're old.
Yeah,
you know, but I like it. Looks like a good board. And ASRock is having an event next month. So I think this board will be there. So we'll do some coverage on that as well. So pretty cool there from ASRock. We have Ryan. Do you say your name Ryan? Is that how you say it? Or is it
probably Ryan D. Costa?
Yeah. He said good morning, 6:50 a.m. So, well, good morning. It is 6:19 p.m. where I'm at. Where is it where you're at, Ryan?
8:19. How is it 50? 6:50.
Yeah,
shouldn't it be 19 everywhere?
I don't know. So a couple weeks ago, Apple announced the MacBook Neo, and it was Apple's entry into the entry-level laptop space. $599 for to get a MacBook. And looking at the specs and what you got, Ryan and I both said, like, this is actually a good deal, especially considering memory prices right now and everything else that's going on. Like, this is a good deal, and Apple probably is losing money on it, probably, in some respects, right? And if you think about that, that price, you know, it is what like a lot of kids would want because it's the cool Apple colors and all that, and they can iMessage on whatever. So, you know, that's going to cut into the entry level Windows laptop space, right? Which is getting harder and harder to be entry level because of the price of memory again, right? And it looks like Microsoft themselves are reacting to this. There's been a lot of stories this week about things Microsoft is doing. One of the first ones is a performance overhaul, which might be not, well, I mean, we both run at least 64 gigs of memory, you know, but they have this nice performance overhaul that's coming, which really tackles memory. Because again, with memory being expensive, a lot of like, you know, systems are shipping with lower memory just to cut down on cost. So this is a good thing. And it only took, you know, so long. It only took them actually probably their market share getting taken away to get something that really handles, you know, like, do you think like a Windows laptop, like a 16 gig is even enough? In some respects, like you open some Chrome.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
Like 16, I think, is still very much like the standard.
Okay. So that was one of the things that came out, was like they're doing this performance overhaul with Windows. Because again, if everything can run great on a $600 MacBook Neo that has 8 gigs of RAM, you know, it's kind of a big deal. Yeah. So that was the first story. And this second story, this is even better. So again, they want to make the Windows 11 experience a lot easier, right? And one of the big things that Microsoft did was this past year, last year, it was last year, but at some point, they really locked down your Windows installation where you needed to have a Microsoft account. And then they blocked the back door, the OOBE, whatever the
experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So you couldn't do that anymore. And you needed an online Microsoft account to install Windows 11. That might be going away.
That would be awesome.
Local account might be coming back. Microsoft is considering dropping that, the mandatory account login for Windows 11.
I'm still living in that world. I went from a 10 install with a local login right up to 11 and didn't have to worry about it. So
yeah,
that's been nice. I think this is great. Like totally opposite.
I like that Apple is making Microsoft actually do things.
If that's where it's coming from. But yeah.
I mean, you would think that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, possibly.
I think that they're going to see some market share go away.
And the total opposite of this is another story that we don't cover this because it's tangentially related. It's consumer electronics, but Vizio, you know, Vizio TVs, Walmart bought that brand, I don't know, a year or two ago, and all their smart TVs, or at least some of them, are now going to require you to log into them with a Walmart.com account in order to use any of the smart functions. So they're like, you know, go in the opposite direction. And then of course they can serve you ads. And then I'm guessing if you order something on Walmart.com, you buy something from Walmart's website, and then they can tailor those advertisements to your TV. I hate that, but
yeah,
it's nice to see that maybe Microsoft is turning back the other direction, giving us some options.
So pretty interesting. I hope that we keep on seeing stuff in like the better improvements for Windows 11. Like I said, if it's caused by the MacBook Neo coming in, I'm all about it. So yeah, definitely good there. Also, Asus just launched their ROG Setra open wireless earbuds. I got to test these at Computex and they sound amazing. It's so weird. Like, I remember the first time I tried open ear earbuds. Have you ever tried open ear earbuds? They don't go in your ear. They sit on your ear.
No, I mean, I've tried the ones that vibrate.
The bone conduction.
I've tried those, but I've never used anything like this.
So like open, so you don't expect it to sound really good, and you don't expect it to have sound isolation, which again, this is a gaming product, so you want some sound isolation so you don't hear things around you. These are really good. So these just launched. And again, for gaming, because normal Bluetooth headset, you would might get some latency. It comes with a Type C. So you plug that into your device and then you get that 2.4 gigahertz back and forth. So really excited. I'm hoping to get these to review, and I want to take them to Computex and travel with, because I love, you know, having good audio, especially on a plane, and then the zero latency for gaming and things like that would be perfect. So hopefully we'll get these in to review here very soon. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then a final story. So, you know, there has been a bunch of bans going on for Chinese made products. DJI was one of the big ones, especially considering they are like the best maker of drones and other, you know, action cams and things like that. And that was the big ban that kind of happened with, you know, newer DJI products not being available in the United States. Now, this one's kind of crazy. So they're going to ban all foreign made routers, not like current ones, like the ones that are already out, but anything that isn't made in the United States as far as routers go. And that includes the chipset.
So no new routers, because they're pretty much all.
Yeah. So the every router is like, the chipsets are not made here. They're made in Taiwan or China or. Yeah. Is there like a timeline? I didn't read like the whole thing.
I don't know if there is one or not. It's. I think some of it. Yeah.
This is the whole, we want to bring manufacturing back to the United States type thing. And obviously the United States is a massive market, so you need to do business there. And for like a Netgear or even an Asus or a TP-Link, you know, they want them to move their production here, which again increases the cost on a lot of this stuff too.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean your current router is gonna stop working or you can't use it.
At least not yet. Yeah, at least not yet. And that's how it worked with DJI. Like all your DJI products still work. You know, and there might even be, just like we saw with DJI too, like there's some companies that popped up that made a camera that looked just like a DJI one. Exactly. Imagine the same. That. Yeah. That were not out of China, supposedly. So you might see that too, where you'll see, you know, like a TP-Link make a new brand in the United States called something else. They actually already do that. They make this security camera. It's not called Blink. It's called something else, but it's made by TP-Link, but they just change the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would assume you could see a lot of that going on as well.
Yeah. Also, yeah, there's a two things. It's Rianne is how you spell or pronounce their name. It's
okay,
Sanskrit / Arabic. So, but they said DJI products are not available in India either. Like all Chinese routers, closed circuit TV cameras, drones are banned for many years, actually. Kind of, you know, similar things, you know, security threat with the potential for data.
Yeah, I mean, this all started with Huawei. And that was like, they found the back door in that, didn't they?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, again, like you can't get what's the electric car BRD. It's called you can't get those, but it's kind of funny because you can actually get them in Mexico and then somebody drive. I live close to the border.
Yeah.
And I saw one. I was like, what is that? And it's like a BRD and I was like, oh, pretty cool. Like, cause I had never saw one in person. Was it BRD?
BYD?
BYD. Sorry. Yeah. BYD.
Huh.
But, it all started with Huawei. Right. And I don't remember that story, cause it was a while ago. BYD. But let's see.
Ooh, I want one of those.
Yeah, but that's like, this is kind of like the car that I saw, this one. But anyways, that Huawei actually had like a real back door in their phones. I don't know if that's true, but that's kind of how this whole thing with China started. And then again, we're seeing more of it. You know what I mean? Yep. But the Huawei phones, like I saw a video the other day, somebody was in China and like it's a quad fold. Did I tell you about this? It's like a quad fold that looks like a 12-inch tablet, but then folds down into like it. Their tech is really cool.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. And a lot of the electric cars over there are really, really cool too.
Yeah. There was one that MKBHD did a video on.
Yeah, I saw that
a couple months ago. That thing is so nice. And then you're like, you hear about the price and you're like, oh my gosh.
Honda, Sony.
Yeah, they broke off that. They canceled those models. Honda's partnership with Sony.
I literally just went to the store the other day. There's a store. There's an Afila store in San Diego. And I went to go look. I looked at this car. It looks sweet.
Is that the one that we've seen at CES though?
No.
Yeah, we've seen that. Yeah.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that front end looked very.
But the thing I didn't like about this is like, okay, so there's like 16 cameras or something on it, but like you can see all of them. I don't like that. I want them hidden. Yeah, I want them very hidden. That's the only thing I didn't like about it. The interior of this car is really awesome. Let's see.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the one. Yeah, we've seen at CES. Maybe not,
but the interior is like all screen. Like it's just a whole screen here. And again, there's like 17 cameras on this thing. Yeah, there's like a showroom in San Diego, so I got to check it out. And then apparently there's like crazy speakers in it too, but I didn't do like the whole demo and anything like that. But in any case, yeah, banning stuff is kind of interesting. I mean, obviously security reasons and things like that. How do you feel? That's our question of the week is like, how do you feel about certain tech being banned in different countries and things like that?
Yeah. So I think it's good on some aspects, right? I think national security is pretty important. And worrying about these backdoors is pretty important, but I think you've got to get the onshore's manufacturing and capacity built up. You've got to be more, gung-ho about it. Like we need to have those capabilities here before you start really cranking down on these bands. So that's where that whole, Gigafactory and the, what's it called? The, what's the new one?
Terrafab.
Terrafactory, right? Like that's where something like that, we need more of that from more companies, more brands, so that we can then say, all right, hey, we've been working with Tesla or, you know, whoever else, you know, is deemed appropriate and has these types of resources onshore. These companies are banned, but we've got these other companies and they're releasing all these products. You know, like it needs to be more planned out. You can't just be like, oh, hey, no more anything from China at all. And you're like, well, that's where we get X, Y, and Z. So like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
Just cutting yourself off. Doesn't work.
Yeah, I get it. And I do like bringing the manufacturing back here, not just from a security standpoint, but also from
everything.
Supply chain.
Yeah, we saw how it worked in 2020. Like it just tore things apart. And that's where like Anduril, Palmer Luckey's military defense contracting company. I've seen him talk about how a lot of the things that they're designing, you could manufacture in a lot of manufacturing plants that we already have. Like there's ways they can utilize existing infrastructure to build out some of their products, which I think is great, right? If you really needed to. And I think that type of ingenuity and just onshore's manufacturing and supply chain availability would go a long way.
Yeah. Yes. We have Star has an iPhone.
iPhone 6.
Yeah, nothing better than a Tesla. I feel from like a software, like I feel Tesla's a software company. I don't feel like they're a car company. They're a software company.
I mean, is there an over like a top umbrella or top level for that suite of companies? Tesla, SpaceX, XAI. Whatever it's called, right? Like, yeah, their software is definitely a big thing. Think about all the software to send a space shuttle or a spaceship up,
you know. Yeah, like I feel like that's all, they're all just a software company, and then like
but that all the hardware they make too is pretty amazing. So
yeah,
Starlink and landing rockets on floating barges. And so
Yeah. So pretty interesting times we're living in, I think. And we're going to see this massive landscape change, I think, again, with like, I think we'll get to a point where you'll see like a data center, and then next to the data center is going to be like a micro reactor for power.
We're going
to have to get to that point. It's, you know, because of the capacity that's needed. Right.
Yep.
So hopefully regulations so we can do that. But in any case, that is our news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a external portable SSD from ADATA. This is their SD820. It's their brand new one, USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, super light as well. And yeah, I'll be taking a look at that. It's going to be perfect because I have a trip coming up here soon enough, and I'll probably bring this with me. So definitely excited to take a look at that. We may have some other stuff. Just depends on what all get done these next few days, and we'll kind of see. So that is essentially it. Anything else? Oh, I did get this right. I was talking about this. I'm going on a trip, and I'm going to China, and I need a secure way to VPN back home. And I've thought about getting something different, but I was like, this might actually be kind of fun and kind of, I've never really had, I had a travel router a long time. It was a TP-Link actually, like a long time ago, but I've heard of this company, this GLI Net company. And I got one of their travel routers. So I'm going to be setting a home VPN up here on my Asus router for this. I don't know how to do it yet, but I'm kind of excited to play with this and try it out. So
yeah, it's cool.
That's my new tech purchase that I just got. So
sweet.
Anything else tech on your side?
No, I haven't. I shot a bunch of video over the weekend. So just, I need to like compress that down, and it makes me sad that disk space is so expensive. Cause I'm at like 60% capacity used on my main NAS, and I'd like to like bump up from 8 terabyte drives to something bigger, but I just can't justify swallowing that. And there's a bunch of stuff on there that I could get rid of.
But
it's like at the point a year ago, I was like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like I'll just buy new drives at some point because drives are cheap. And then here we are 2026 and hard drives are expensive again.
Yeah. So. And I feel like they're only going to get a little bit more expensive as we go on. So yeah. Well, Ryan, I'm not gaming tonight. I have some pictures, product photos to take. Are you going to be doing some gaming?
I will probably play a little bit. Yeah. I don't know if I'll play Apex, or I may switch over to like 7 days or so. I don't know. There's a new version of a gun in Apex that I really want to try out. Supposedly it's just like busted, and it's a gun that like we don't usually like. So
yeah,
I want to play it.
Well, Ryan will be over on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. He'll be over there. If I, for some reason, get bored, I have a lot of products to take photos of, so I don't think I'll be doing that, but I may jump over there, but he will be over there. And I just want to say thanks for everybody that came out for the podcast. Of course, we appreciate everybody in the live chat and everybody that listens later, and we will see everybody next week.